Good afternoon, everyone. It's Dr. Nigro again. Next episode of Psychology Unplugged. Thanks to all of you who've been reaching out. Appreciate all the compliments, all the feedback. Feel free to reach out to me with suggestions for different show topics. As you know, I do this program organically. Something pops in my head, I go with it. And let's see where today's episode will take us. So for those of you guys who've been following the program, I have been a longtime fan of Bruce Springsteen and his music. And I think in my experience, clinical experience, his work has played a significant role in my life, in my development. This is not an autobiographical piece on Bruce Springsteen. This is not a history lesson. It's just I've seen the relevance of his songs and as a storyteller with an incredibly prolific way of articulating the human experience. So I remember being young, still young, but I remember being young growing up, and my oldest brother was a huge Springsteen fan. And I think this is probably around the time of like Darkness on the Edge of Town, or maybe Born in the USA. And this one, he had like the old big speakers, the Kenwood speakers, down in the basement. And brother had this awesome stereo system. And I didn't really know who Bruce Springsteen was. I was a young kid, but I would open the door and I would sit on the stairs. I remember they were gray. The stairs were gray. And I would listen to this guy, you know, screaming, and it struck me, and it was a level of passion. Bruce even says in his own memoir, Born to Run, he said, "My best friend said, you can't sing now, and you never could sing." And I think Bruce admits that himself, but it's his power and his conviction. And as I got older and started to go to concerts and really explore the lyrics, and that's something I'm very passionate about, is reading the lyrics to songs, because they carry a significant amount of weight, and his ability to take complex human experiences and break them down into, you know, several stanzas, I think it is fascinating. So when I would train students or teach, I would sometimes I would bring one of my acoustic guitars in, and I would teach students how to, what's called case conceptualization, how you take some basic information and how you form kind of a conceptual framework of what may be going on with somebody. And this is a huge part of diagnostics. And I get a lot of this from, after I do my structured diagnostic clinical interview, I was right at the top left of the front page. I write down what I think the possible diagnoses are. Then I do the testing. I see how close I am. So getting this information is crucial. And I think Bruce has done a phenomenal job throughout his career of being able to talk about relationships, family, even his own book, he talks about his struggles and the strained relationship with his father, and how, you know, as he got older, how he viewed his conceptualization of his father very differently as his father struggled with mental health. And Bruce has also struggled and been open about his mental health struggles with depression. And he also wrote a great song called My Depression, where he talks about his experiences with depression and being on medication and being in therapy. So I think, you know, independent of your status in life, none of us are inoculated or are immune to being impacted by mental health. But again, as that young kid, I can picture myself just sitting there. And then I would gradually got older and learn how to use the equipment. I just became immersed in his music. And then, like, from a crazy fan, but just as an admirer of almost reading poetry. And you could see yourself in a lot of the different songs. I mean, relationships, like the River album is an amazing album about relationships, about the interconnectedness of humans, time, you know, our immortality. You know, Born to Run was kind of the breakout. You know, he put a lot of people in all these cars and to figure out some place for them to go. You know, Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan really kind of paved the way for artists like Bruce Springsteen. And his humility, I think, has really been something that I've admired. I've collected a lot of autograph stuff from him over the years, a lot of the house. We have a lot of autograph guitars in the house, a lot are his. But a true admirer of him, I would sing the play the songs and do the different stanzas, and then teach students how to do a case conceptualization of what might be going on with the person, and you know, not necessarily from a neuropsych perspective, but just from kind of building a framework of how to view an individual. So. Again, to this day, I mean, if E Street Radio on Sirius XM is my plugged in on my presets, Julie, she tolerates it because, she had a roommate that I guess played the music in college way too much, and so she'd be oversaturated with it. But, if I'm not trying to convert you to be a Springsteen fan, but I would certainly point you into reading, listening to his words, but reading the lyrics and really understanding how he could take different emotions, different experiences, his own, as well as just societal issues. Political issues, spiritual issues, and he does a phenomenal job. And I've referenced him at different points in the podcast. I reference his work, and I'll point people to go to different songs depending on what they may be going through, because I think if someone's singing about it, it demystifies it to a certain degree. It destigmatizes, country music. Everybody's lost their car, their truck, their girlfriend, and they drink. So, that's kind of the theme of country music. And then, but Bruce does a really good job, I think, of incorporating a lot of the principles of psychology into his music. And I have found it to be an incredibly valuable companion on my own personal journey in life, and also on my own professional journey in working with patients to help them kind of connect to something bigger. And the meanings in a lot of the songs, and every album is different, and it's just, I think he's evolved over the years and sings about reality. And it's amazing, again, to be able to break life down into several stanzas. So I'm going to kind of go through one of the songs and show you kind of what I mean by case conceptualization. Okay, this is a song called The Hitter, and it was an acoustic version. And most of you guys probably won't know this song, but I think it was on the Devils and Dust album. But this is a story about a guy. I can either give you my interpretation or let you kind of figure out what it means. But this is about somebody who's lost. Who's lost, who's been disconnected, and is filled with anger, is filled with compromise, and doesn't seem to really be able to get out of his own way. So let's go through the lyrics. It starts off, "Come to the door, Ma, and unlock the chain. I was just passing through and got caught in the rain. There's nothing I want, nothing you need to say. Just let me lie down for a while, and I'll be on my way." Now, this is a man standing at a locked door, speaking through a lock. The whole conversation is through a guy talking through a locked door to his mother. And so obviously you can kind of see that there is isolation, there's disconnectedness. He's not even asking for anything from his mother, so there could be stubbornness, there could be a sense of being undeserving. There could be also a sense of a strained relationship, but I guess if he's going back home, like I said in one of the episodes, like there's that primal desire to want to be loved by a parent, whether they're healthy or unhealthy. Next line. "I was no more than a kid when you put me on the Southern Queen. With the police on my back, I fled to New Orleans. I fought in the dockyards with the money that I made. The fight was my home and blood was my trade. So obviously as a young child, he was troubled. Obviously, now that his mom put him on a train to New Orleans to, because she couldn't deal with it anymore. Did she put him on a train to New Orleans because she was sending him to a family, somebody else that could take care of him? Did she send him because the police were on his trail? Did she, you know, kind of aid and abet and just get him into a different place? Don't know. Next line, next verse. Baton Rouge, Ponchatoula, and Lafayette Town. They paid me their money, Ma. I knocked the man down. Well, I did what I did. Yeah, it came easily. Restraint and mercy, Ma, were always strangers to me. So again, talking through this closed door, it came easily to him for he to be angry. Restraint and mercy were strangers to him. So he kind of building this picture of a person who has no restraint, who has no self-control. And I don't know if he's at the door asking for his mother's forgiveness, if he's asking for that acceptance. But again, that mom hasn't, if you notice, he had nothing I've read, mom hasn't opened the door. I fought champion Jack Thompson in a field full of mud. Rain poured through the tent to the canvas and mixed with our blood. In the 12th, slipped my tongue over my broken jaw, and I stood over him and pounded his bloody body into the floor. Again, no restraint. Is that anger? Is that rage? Is it, you know, you don't hear anything so far about dad. Is there a disconnect where is he projecting the anger that he has onto the opponents that he's fighting? Because there's a sense of, if you're getting it, there's almost a sense of being relentless. Well, the bell rang, and still I kept on until I felt my glove leather slip between his skin and bone. And the women and the money came fast, and the days I lost track. The women red, the money green, but the numbers were black. I think there you see he's already indoctrinated into a lifestyle, indoctrinated into a system, indoctrinated into maybe be considered a chosen profession, whether it was chosen out of a desire or chosen out of necessity. I fought for the men in their silk suits to lay down their bets. I took my good share, Ma. I have no regrets. I took the fix of the state armory with Big John McDowell. From high in the rafters, I watched myself fall. There's compromise. He's working for the man. He's working for the guys in the suits for the bets, and he's willing to even sacrifice whether he has a undefeated record or he has a certain persona about him. He's willing to engage in a fixed fight, so there's definitely compromise. As they raised his arm, my stomach twisted, and the sky went black. I stuffed my bag with their good money and never looked back. Understand in the end, Ma, every man plays the game. Well, if you know anyone different, then speak out his name. I think Bruce does a great job of really that line of saying that this is the reality of life. That he's, you know, this character and the hitter really is I think egocentric. He's disconnected. There's anger there, possibly depression. As you see, he throws the fight and takes his money and walks away, not worrying about his reputation, not worrying about morals, not worrying about integrity. And again, that understand in the end, Ma, every man plays the game. If you know anyone different, then speak out his name. So from his worldview, he's thinking this is how everybody is, or this is just from my learning. This is my personality. This is just how I view the world, that I will compromise. I will cut corners, all serving my self-interests. Ma, if my voice now you don't recognize, we'll just open the door and look into your dark eyes. I ask of you nothing, not a kiss, not a smile. Just open the door and let me lie down for a while. Again, the door is locked. So if you don't recognize the voice, you can kind of sense that there has been a lengthy period of estrangement. She sent him away as a child, but yet he's coming back as an adult. And that line, I think, is very powerful. Just open the door and to look in your dark eyes. And that's basically saying they're your dark eyes because you gave birth to me. You are my mother. So I think, again, the artistry of how Bruce writes is so powerful. And this line really describes the family discord, the disconnectedness, but also the desire to reconnect with his mom without asking for anything. And that, again, not asking because he's just asking to lay down. And you could look at that psychologically as is it possible he's just tired and he's just beat and just wants to lie down. He's not saying, I want to talk. Can you make me a meal? I'm just standing here through this closed door. And you go back to the closed door of the place that is familiar and the place that you consider home. We go back to those places and looking for that sense of security and safety. Now the gray ring is falling. My ring fighting's done. So in the work fields and alleys, I take all who come. If you're a better man than me, then just step to the line. And show me your money and speak out your crime. There's nothing I want, Ma, nothing that you need to say. Just let me lie down for a while and I'll be on my way. So he's obviously is a much older version of himself. And he's at a point where, you know, professional boxing, no longer an option. But he goes back to what he knows. And a lot of us regress back to the behaviors, whether they're healthy, unhealthy, maladaptive, adaptive. We go back to those behaviors that are most familiar to us. The ones that obviously if we only repeat behaviors if they have valence or value. So there's some value to him being a person who fights other people. Moving to the end. Well, tonight in the shipyard, a man draws a circle in the dirt. I move to the center and I take off my shirt. I study him for the cuts, the scars, the pain no man, no time can erase. I move hard to the left and I strike to the face. So now, you know, this is kind of like out, you know, imagine some, you know, shipyard in the dark, and they draw the circle in the ground. And I like the line, I study him for the cuts, the scars, the pain, no time can erase. And I think that really describes all of us and our own human experiences, that we all have cuts, we all have scars, whether that's literally, physically, or psychologically, or more, you know, metaphorically. Pain. We've all experienced pain. What we do with it, that's our own individual choice. I think in this character's life, his own pain is projected onto other people, that he's going to, you know, beating people. He beats the one guy, his bloody body, even after the bell rang and rang. So there's that sense, there's that sense of relentlessness that it could be tenacity, but it's relentlessness. So the whole, you know, the, and, you know, and no time can erase, you know, no time, you know, can time heal? Absolutely. Can time, you know, sometimes, you know, if there's PTSD, can time like feel like you're flipped back to a different point in your life, reliving something traumatic? Absolutely. But we all, you know, he's basically saying, I'm no different than anybody else because we all have the cuts, we all have the scars, we all have the pain, and time can't erase us. And we take ourselves as we are in this current position. And again, that's the song. And nowhere in the song do you hear a response from his mom. So you don't even know, is he at the right house? Is mom just fed up with him? You know, back to that line, like, look into your dark eyes. He doesn't say, look into my dark eyes. He's putting the ownership back on her. And that could be out of desire for love or desire for acceptance, a desire for connectedness, or it could be anger and say, look, I'm your son. I need something. I need help. I'm not asking for anything. I just need to lay down for a while. So I wanted to just do this episode, again, just my own passion and journey with the music of and work of Bruce Springsteen, who I would, you know, love to meet and just thank, not as a fanatical fan, but just from the profession that I do and the experiences and just the ability to really articulate that. So that's kind of the case conceptualization. That's kind of how, just to kind of give you a backdrop of how you can kind of take a song and use that. Like I said, I've trained a lot of students on how to do that, and I've used his work through various songs in terms of really dissecting the human condition. That's really what he writes about. So not to belabor the point, I'm not looking to convert everybody to Bruce Springsteen fans, but I would definitely encourage you to look into his work. You will find yourself in one of the characters that he writes about. His music is filled with themes of religion, themes of friendship, themes of loss, of themes of, and again, it's really the lyrics and the music in and of itself. And if you ever got a chance to see him, you watch the passion that comes out of him is just amazing. And there's a degree of authenticity, which I think is why it resonates with me, as it does with a lot of the real true musicians, like the Who, the Rolling Stones, the Eagles, Sting, Prince. These were artists. Elton John. These guys wrote through music. They're not your boy band performers. But there's a lot to be said in psychology. With music can be incredibly therapeutic. If you're depressed, don't listen to depressed songs, but sometimes you may need to listen to it just to feel not as alone. So again, just wanted to share this with you. Again, this popped in my head. I was in the grocery store. I heard Bruce on the radio. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do an episode on this and talk about case conceptualization. I think that's a great song that I've used a lot of times. And I definitely encourage you to check it out. It's an acoustic version. You can find it on YouTube. Or if you got the album Devils and Dust, revisit it, but listen to the lyrics and see what you can pull out of it. You'll find yourself in many of his songs. So hopefully this was a little different version, a little different topic this time, but hopefully this was helpful and productive. Feel free to reach out to me, as always, through psychologyunpluggedoutlook.com. You can get a hold of me through Psychology Today. You can contact me directly, 617-750-9411, East Coast Standard Time. Until next week, be well, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Look forward to meeting a lot of you guys who are coming from out of town the next few weeks. And be well, guys. Bye.